We are in Hebrews 11 this morning. Verse 7 is what we're looking at. Hebrews 11, verse 7. Verse 7 says, "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." This is God's word. This morning we look at the saints of the past. We continue doing that here in Hebrews 11, and we come to Noah. Each of these examples of faith chosen here in Hebrews illustrate in some way or another the starting definition of the chapter that we looked at in verse 1. You recall it says, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Noah's example in particular illustrates this for us, right? He did not yet see the flood. He waited a very long time to see what God had promised, and he worked and lived by faith as he waited. Paul tells us in the New Testament, we walk by faith and not by sight. We're in the same boat as Noah was, no pun intended. We are in the same life of faith that he lived as well. So I want to look briefly at Genesis 6 and recall the story again, particularly Genesis 6, verses 13 through 18. Beginning in verse 13, it says, "God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms you shall make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window you shall make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt finish it above, and the door of the ark thou shalt set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories you shall make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee I will establish my covenant. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee." From this story, I want to derive two things about the faith of Noah that instruct us this morning. The first is, faith takes seriously the warnings of God. Faith takes seriously what God has warned about. Secondly, faith flees the wrath to come through God's way of salvation. Faith flees the wrath to come through God's way of salvation. Let's begin with the first one. Faith takes seriously the warnings of God. The Bible is a very serious book, isn't it? Contained in the pages of Holy Scripture are warning after warning of divine judgment. Of course, it's filled with promises of mercy and grace and salvation as well. But many, many warnings are there found. The Scriptures tell us that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for what we have done. And that verdict that will be heard will either be guilty, because we all deserve the wrath of God, or it will be not guilty if we are found in Christ. But the world, it scoffs at these warnings of judgment, doesn't it? Over and over again, those warnings have been brought. God mercifully brings warnings to the world over and over and over again. He has not left himself without witness, but men in their folly and their sin, they reject it. They suppress the truth. They ignore God's warnings given to them. And when we experience that scoffing about divine judgment, we can be tempted to try to soften the message a little bit, to try to make things a little easier. Just think about all the theories that have been created about heaven and hell as ways to soften the teachings of Scripture. People create these theories about a second chance where all people, when they eventually come to the judgment seat, are going to be given a second chance to finally accept God's mercy, His way of salvation. Or they propagate this lie of universalism, that everyone is going to be saved in the end anyway. Or sometimes they redefine terms and they say, well, hell is just you rejecting God right now, but you can have heaven on earth if you decide to love Him right now. And they change the meaning of these things. We must not fall prey to those temptations. We must take seriously God's warnings. These are real matters. When God told Noah, I'm going to bring an end to all flesh on the earth, he was serious. It's exactly what happened. When God says there is a judgment to come with eternal consequences, we listen up. By faith, we believe his words. And sometimes we feel alone in believing those judgments, right? We're thinking, we feel marginalized. We feel alone. It doesn't seem like many others are taking seriously these warnings of divine judgment. But if you feel alone in these things, just remember Noah's situation. What would it be like if the church in America was down to 8 people? Or worse, the church in the entire world, down to 8 people. That would be tough. Noah, I'm sure, felt very alone. And by God's mercy, we're not alone. There's at least more than 8 people here, from what I can tell. And we believe these things, brothers and sisters. We believe in the judgments of God. We take these things seriously. And it says that Noah was moved with fear. Other translations say reverent fear. We see that faith and reverent fear go together. They go hand in hand. They do not contradict one another at all. For example, Psalm 119. In that psalm where the psalmist is expressing his love for God, you see that it says in verse 120, my flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. And these things do not contradict one another. And you also see in Hebrews 10, verse 31, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. These are our confessions as well. So this is the first point. Faith takes seriously the warnings of divine judgment. Secondly, we see that Noah, he was given this message of judgment and he was told, build the ark. This is the way that you will be saved. That's the second thing. Faith flees the wrath to come through God's way of salvation. The appointed way for Noah to be saved was very physical. It was very tangible. You need to build an ark. You're going to get your family in it. I'm going to close them up and you're going to be saved from the flood that is coming to the earth. And if they hadn't listened, if he hadn't taken action, moved by reverent fear, his family would have perished in the flood. So thus, true faith not only takes seriously the judgments of God, but it moves and acts in light of what God has said and looks to God's way of salvation. To escape the wrath to come, we must look to Jesus Christ, our ark of salvation, for us and the saving of our household. Question 85 from the Shorter Catechism is very helpful here. It says, what if God require of us that we may escape his wrath and curse due to us for sin? To escape the wrath and curse of God due to us for sin, God requireth of us faith in Jesus Christ, repentance unto life, with the diligent use of all the outward means whereby Christ communicateth to us the benefits of redemption. How are we saved? We look in faith to Christ, we repent of our sins, and then God nurtures us through the means of grace. He strengthens us and our families, through these things that he has appointed. We enter the ark by faith, and then we're fed in that ark by the word of God in particular. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22. And you see here the essential way in which the word works. We are saved through the hearing of the word of God by faith, looking to Christ, and then we are nurtured by the word. It says, verse 22 of 1 Peter 1, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So we're born again through the word. The word is that which works through the Spirit. And then it says in chapter 2, verse 1, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. It's a great picture. We're born again, we're babies, and then we need milk. The milk of the word is that which nourishes us. How does this connect back to Noah? Well, Noah, by faith, entered that ark. We, by faith, look to Christ. And then as we are in that ark, we are strengthened and nourished by the word of God. And we always remember what it says in Genesis 6. Why was Noah saved? Well, one of the answers is by faith. He looked to God for salvation. But before all of that, if we go back further, we see in Genesis 6 the words, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord was merciful to Noah and to his family. It is the same situation for us, brothers and sisters. If we are to flee the wrath to come, it is only by the mercy and grace of God that He will save us and that He will save our families. Without the grace of God, we perish. Apart from the grace of God, we can do nothing. Therefore, let us pray that God would help us to take His judgment seriously and also to look in faith to His way of salvation. O God and Father in heaven, we thank you for the example of Noah, who we see as this great example of faith to us. May we be moved by reverent fear from your judgments. May we take seriously what you have said in your word, that we would not scoff at it, we would not ignore it, but that we would act in light of it, and we would look to Christ because we see the dangers that there are to come, and we want to be saved. We want to be redeemed. We pray, O Lord, that you would work in us, work to save our households. Use your word to strengthen us, we pray. And now we take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.